I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Rant Edition. This is another new little segment we're going to introduce.
You know, it's been like over 50 episodes and I still love saying Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Good.
It's such a fun name. Sorry. That's not at all what we're talking about today, guys. It is, in fact, a rant. We are ranting today.
So welcome to... Okay, no. Because I feel like we've done that multiple times. If not on tape, then we've done it to each other in conversations while ranting.
Often. Yeah. So this is Okay, No. And today we are ranting about the fact that the MCU and the MCU TV does not connect at all.
It's so bad. They try... It would be better if they were like, no, they're two separate things, don't worry about it. Or, like, they might kind of, but specifically Agents was pitched as, like, it goes together with the movies, and it does not.
Yeah, so far, the TV shows that are canonically in-universe are all the Defenders, so Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Peggy Carter. I know that the Runaways and Cloak and Dagger are, like, I think they're technically in-universe, but they are very kind of like small potatoes in-universe. They don't really deal with anything that would, like, garner the attention of the Avengers in a way that would make you think, like, oh, shouldn't they be here? You know?
Yeah. Also... Runaways definitely takes place in Los Angeles, so I mean that's somewhat more removed from, like, Agents travels everywhere, but for the most part everything that happens in New York, at least from the beginning.
Yeah, unless they're in Malibu with Iron Man, but we haven't really had a solo Iron Man in a long time, so and we never will again. Oh, I guess, like, off the top, spoilers.
Yeah. The Just only spoilers. One that I thought was did, like, an okay job of kind of tying in the movies with its show was Peggy Carter, and that's because it was set in the past, so the really only big movie that they had to worry about was the first Avenger, and they were able to play with that and then let Peggy live her own independent life. So that was the best one.
And yet the movies were still messing with it because there was that scene in The Winter Soldier where she's talking... Like, it's Peggy talking about her life and knowing Steve Rogers, and she says, like, and I met my husband, he fought in that battle that Steve rescued all those men from. So then it was like, oh, God, and then they had to go back to, I think the people on Agent Carter probably had to, like, write in a line about Sousa being in that battle, or in that camp, or whatever.
Yeah. But that was an easy line fix.
It was, but I just kind of, I think it paints a larger picture of how the MCU movies kind of just write whatever they want to write, and then the TV shows have to play catch up.
Right. Do you think either of them, how much do you think the comics influence that? Because they all have this original source material.
What, Peggy Carter?
Well, I mean, all the shows. Well, maybe not Agents. I don't think Agents was a comic. But, like, was it known that Peggy would marry a man that Cap saved?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because then I was going to say, either way, they would have to write that in.
I gotta be honest, I don't really know a lot about Peggy Carter as a, like, comic book character. Just because I feel like what I know of her, it's not... I mean, you know, someone can at me. I might be totally wrong about this. And honestly, do at me. I would love to start reading some if there is, like, a Peggy Carter comic line. But I don't think she has, like, her own comics. Like, I think Peggy Carter has always been a character that's very closely tied to Captain America. In the same way that Mary Jane is very closely tied to Spider-Man as, like, love interest, but not solo character.
Okay, so she just kind of phased out.
Probably.
She's kind of phased out. Oh, that's too bad. Well, then I guess it's a good thing that the shows and movies were able to give her more than the original canon.
I mean, again, I have absolutely no authority on that. It, mm-hmm. She might have her own, like, comic canon that we have no idea about because, you know, as we've established many times before, we are a MCU.
We're a watcher podcast, not a reader podcast.
We're pretty exclusively MCU people, but not Marvel people. Yeah, I think Agent Carter probably did it the best. I think Daredevil season one also did a really good job of it because they only had to deal with the aftermath of Avengers and not like anything else. I think same would go for Jessica Jones season one.
Yeah, Defenders was able to, I think, put it off the best. Agent Carter's was the best at integrating it. Defenders, all four of them, were best at just, like, not having to deal with it. And then the one that just got royally messed up over it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, Agents got the short end of the stick. Like, I feel... It was such a good idea when it first came out, you know? Because Coulson had just died, and they just said, like, oh my god, this show has Coulson in it. And everyone was like, are you serious? And, like, go back and listen to our season one, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season one episode, which I still think was a great episode. Haven't listened to it since it came out, but, like, it was one of our first, like, really good episodes, I would say. Like, they did a good job of integrating, because it was right after the Avengers. There weren't any big movies really coming up until the end of that season. And they were able to get the, like, the woman who plays Sif there for the season. They integrated Asgardians and, like, stuff that we were all really familiar with from the, like, movies. And then they stopped doing that.
Well, I think it's also Winter Soldier fucked them over completely. They were just chugging along, like, setting up their little TV show, and then Winter Soldier's like, oh, by the way, S.H.I.E.L.D. is full of Nazis, and it's going to collapse. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was just like,
Well, and like, okay, I mean, I think we talked about it during season one, like, our episode where I went back and rewatched it, and it felt like there was groundwork for that, so it kind of felt like they knew. Maybe not in, like, the first half of the season, but definitely in the second half. Like, they knew a little bit. Because it felt to me that groundwork was being laid for a betrayal.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when you go back and watch season one, there is a... Like, the first half is definitely the weaker half of... Weakest part of the entire series, not gonna lie. Because they have to do all this setup, and they go on, like, little mini-adventures, and it's the second half where they actually get into overarching plot that Agents shines. That's what they're best at throughout the entire series. But I still... Maybe they did know, or maybe they were always thinking of a betrayal, but I don't think they realized how deep the betrayal was going to... Or, like, how massive it was going to be in-universe. Because they really had to just rewrite a lot of core stuff.
I don't remember who said it. It might have been Joss Whedon, but I don't really know. But I don't remember. But someone involved with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, yeah, it boiled down to, yeah, they don't give a fuck about the TV shows. We started a show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they immediately had S.H.I.E.L.D. collapse after our first season. Quite frankly, that's really true. Like, they set up this show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then S.H.I.E.L.D. collapsed, and it's like, okay, so what happens to S.H.I.E.L.D.? And so within the show, they rebuilt S.H.I.E.L.D. like 8 different times, and that has no, there's no reflection of that on, in the movies, and there's no reflection of what's happening in the movies in the show. If anything, it's always just like a throwaway line here and there.
Again, it would be fine if it was kind of like Defenders and they were able to just be a TV show and deal with their own, you know, superhero type problems, but they are, the show is, mostly, was trying so hard to stay with the MCU, but the MCU didn't care, so they were just out there, they were always just struggling, because, like, big things were happening. I remember which season it was, It was like this fourth or fifth season.
Was it the Infinity War one?
Yeah, it was one that came out around Infinity War, and like very large things were happening, mostly in Wakanda, but agents just had this tiny, tiny line of, oh no, it was when the aliens first invaded New York, and so agents had this tiny, tiny line of just like, I have to go help in New York, and like, wait, that's all we're getting for an Infinity War tie-in? And then agents has had to do, and I think they've, I don't know, I'm talking about the first base season when they jump ahead. Mm-hmm. They had to do crazy plot twists of just like, we're 10 years in the future now, we're just skipping everything, we're space.
I mean, I very distinctly, and we talked about this in that season's episode too, I remember talking to you about that season and being like, oh, so this is how they're going to avoid Infinity War and avoid having to talk about it. They're going to be in space for the entire season. Mm-hmm. And then their mid-season finale was getting them back to Earth. And I was like, okay, I was wrong. That's not what's happening here.
If we sat down and tried to timeline out Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the MCU, I don't think it would.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I know that this new season, like, haven't watched it. I have not watched it. I don't really have access to it here in Thailand. I mean, I think we both agreed that the last season was really good, and I feel like they didn't need another one. But also, they left it really open. So they kind of do need to close it out. And I think they have, like, another season after this one that's going to be the last season.
Yeah. Seventh season is the confirmed final season.
So, I don't know. I am interested in going back. I'm excited to get to the new season of Agents. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know where it falls in the timeline. Maybe they've just decided this is an alternate timeline. Like, it doesn't matter anymore.
It would be the ultimate cop-out, but deciding Agents ran on an alternate timeline, like, if that was the big reveal of one of the seasons, that would make the most sense. Because Agents have gone through, in their own show universe, have gone through so much that should have impacted the larger MCU. Like, they went through some stuff that I'm like, how is Tony not just, like,
aware,
doing a quick flyby of just, like, y'all okay down there? And then also, there were some other things of, one, the whole future space timeline, which they were able to work out in the show, that also had massive ramifications for the world. Like, the whole premise is that Daisy destroys Earth, and, like, we're not going to pretend there aren't other highly superpowered people that are going to take alarm at that. So, I honestly, just saying that they were on a different universe timeline, multiverse, anything would make the most sense.
Well, maybe that would be the split off, is like, well, they did go back in time, like they have that little paradox now, so maybe like that's the split off, like from season five, new timeline.
Even I would be okay with a timeline even earlier, like when they went through the monolith, the obelisk, melty rock,
the first time.
Yeah,
like to go to the future.
Yeah, whenever Gemma got eaten that season.
Oh my god, that was like season two.
I know. Like,
but there was no time travel there.
There wasn't any time travel there, but if just something about it, if they were able to explain how, like, the introduction of the monolith was a break in the timeline, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can work with that. Also, the one thing that Agents did that I wasn't a huge fan of, even though the MCU barely acknowledged it, is they did kind of take the Nazis out of Hydra. They made it more of an occult thing, and a lot of what the Hydra thing point is it was founded by Nazis.
They did and they didn't. I mean, I feel like Daisy is one of those characters who's always been like, you're Nazis, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they've always had someone on the team that's always just been like, you are the bad guy. And, while I honestly don't even remember what I said in that episode, like, just whatever. I get it. I get, like, that they've turned it kind of into an occulty kind of thing, and it's kind of annoying because, like, we've always known Hydra to be Nazis, but, like, they have always been an evil group. is what mm-hmm. I think the, like, point was. They've always been an evil group. Right. And when the Nazis came around, they decided to side with the Nazis because the Nazis were evil and could do their... They could get their stuff... They could get their shit done with Nazis, mm-hmm. but they couldn't do it mm-hmm. with, like, not the Nazis. Yeah. You know? So that's kind mm-hmm. of where I fall on that. Where it's like, yeah, but they still were clearly the bad guys, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know. I can't be bothered to really debate fictional Nazis and if they're actually Nazis or not when there's real Nazis in the world now again.
Yeah.
Although, I guess, like, not again. Out. They've always been around.
Openly out.
Yeah.
Openly out and encouraged.
Yeah, remember, but you thought this was just going to be a fun... rant. Fun episode rant, but it's actually gotten political. Nazis. Yeah, so there's that. So I kind of can't be bothered because I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. We don't have to fight about the fact that these people are, like, supposed to be Nazis but aren't Nazis, but they are Nazis when they are literal Nazis marching in the streets in America. But anyway, yeah. I think what angers me the most about the fact that they don't connect is that, like, as a fan, I've seen all the opportunities yeah. for them to connect. Like, yeah. I've seen the opportunity to get Emily Van Camp on the show. I've seen the, like, I can't imagine that not a single person in the Avengers, like, wouldn't want a guest spot, you know? Like, if Samuel L. Jackson starred in 3 episodes mm-hmm. of season 1, Chris Evans couldn't have, like, popped his head in.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even, like, I wish there was a stronger tie with, like, Maria Hill. Like, it makes sense that maybe some yeah. of the bigger players didn't, like, canonically wouldn't have time, or just, like, their actors didn't have time. But Kobe Smulders is, I feel like, the best of both. She is a movie star. And she's also a TV star. And Maria
I mean,
Hill
I would call
is,
her a TV star way before I call her a movie star.
Right? Yeah. But also, like, Maria Hill is also best of both players. Where, like, it would make sense that if anyone was going to keep in touch with the main team, it would mm-hmm. be her. And I wish we saw her more.
The other aspect of this that makes me mad is that Coulson never made a comeback.
I'm so mad. It was... disrespectful.
They kept alluding to it. They kept saying, like, oh, like, I want to tell them on my own time, like, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. I'll let them know, like, it'll be me, I'll say it, don't worry, like, I'll let them know. And then none of the movies ever brought it back, you know, like,
yeah,
that how easy would it have been for Age of Ultron to have him standing next to Nick Fury, like, with the helicarrier, you know? Like, mm-hmm. That would have been so easy for him to just be like, hey, guys, I'm back. And then maybe the after credits scene could have been them being like, so where the hell have you been, you know?
Yeah, like, what happened? The main thing that infuriated me about the Agents MCU thing is... Again, like I said, probably, you know, 10 minutes ago, Agents got so big. They were doing so many large, earth-changey type plot points. Mm-hmm. And at no point did it raise any eyebrows from the main team. Like, there was no mention from anything or from anyone of just, like, Tony, but, like, we got a call from Stark. He wants to know if we can handle this. And just, like, that's all we needed of just, like, there's no one... They're monitoring. We get into, like, surveillance yeah. and monitoring.
Especially with the LMD episode. Or the season.
Yeah, we talk so much about how, like, in the MCU of just, like, Stark Industries is everywhere. He has satellites. There's missiles. Blah, 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 blah. And at no point, no one in, like, this Avengers team was just like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
That's a spaceship. Well, there's a rogue helicarrier kind of just zooming around.
I know. I don't get it. Like, especially with the LMD season, because, like, who knows artificial intelligence better than Tony Stark?
Yeah. And again, we're not asking... Yes, it would have been great if Tony dropped in. But we're not asking for cameos all the time. We just need a mention of just, like, this would make sense in that world. Like, yeah. Someone from somewhere would reach out and be like, Maria Hill wants to know what's going on. Tell her we've got it. Done.
Yeah. Okay, so there's I watch the DC TV universe rather closely. Oh, right. And they are all connected as well, kind of in different ways. But they will occasionally do the, like, crossover reference thing. And they do it really well. Like, this one time, it was, like, this one time the Green Arrow had to go to the city that the Flash works out of. And then the Green Arrow, like, called up the chief of police there to get some information. And he was like, well, how do I know you're the real deal? And they didn't even need to bring in the actor for this. It was just, like, a blur in the office. And then a sticky note appeared on his computer and was like, he's legit from The Flash. Like, you know, like, it's stuff like that where maybe they're not actually talking to Tony Stark, but like, oh, like, he could have been the perfect Deus Ex Machina where it's like, hey, like, Stark just sent us this tech to help us out, you know? Like, this is proprietary, like, Stark tech. Like, he sent this for us because, like, he's gonna help us, like, fight the big bad. Like, he's too busy right now with the Sokovia Accords or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't do that. And it's really frustrating that they don't do something like that. I think it's because, like, we don't really know what these heroes do in their off time. Like, we don't really... What are their lives, you know? Like, after
I was gonna say, there's also that whole point in Civil War where half of them are on the run.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like... that's what I was about to say. Like, after Civil War, we know that half of them are on the run, so obviously they're not going to be, like, really involved with whatever Agents is doing. But I don't know. There's just, like, so many opportunities for it. I can't imagine Anthony Mackie would be against starring, like, to bring him in for an episode or something. Like Anthony Mackie was just on Black Mirror, and I get that that's a different thing, but still, you know, like,
I don't think any of them would have been against it. I think it was just inability to get scheduling and or inability to write also in things.
Cost is a big issue. I understand that, you know, Robert Downey Jr., like, they can't afford him.
Yeah, they can't afford... I don't think they'd be able to afford any of the big six.
No. I don't know. It's the MCU that, like... I can't imagine that there isn't some caveat in the contracts that say, like, we're allowed to use your likeness in all of our... like, all of our content. So they could have, like, a picture of Tony Stark or something. You know, like... I don't know. Like, there's just so much that could have happened. Like, if they can have... I cannot get over the fact that the biggest movie star, like, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson, went on this show for 3 episodes, and nobody else will either, you know?
It was infuriating because there were so many opportunities, and then it was just infuriating because it didn't make sense. It legitimately, after a while, just it didn't make any sense. And then I will also maintain, I'm really mad, because we talked about it earlier, Coulson never showed up in the MCU.
Never again. Other than Captain Marvel, but that was in the past, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. And it's just, when, especially in Endgame and Infinity War, they put everyone in the end credits, and Coulson wasn't there or mentioned, that was like, ugh, disrespect.
Okay, so the thing with that was, remember when I compared that to Twilight?
Yeah.
So the ones at the end of that, they really only showed people who were in the movie.
Because Vision wasn't in that, which again. No.
But Natalie Portman was, and she had like 2 seconds of screen time, you know? Like they only made a credit to people who were actually in Endgame.
Yes, that does make sense, but also I wish they would have done it for everyone in the MCU.
Yeah, whereas Twilight did it for every single character who made an appearance in the entire series, not just the Breaking Dawn Part 2 movie.
Yeah, and that's what Endgame should have done. Because also, I can't remember the actor, but the one who played Vision, that was Jarvis for a very
Paul
long
Bettany,
time.
Paul Bettany, yeah.
Yeah. So
he was Jarvis for years.
Yeah, he was in the MCU way before his Vision showed up, and I still, maybe this is just an Iron Man thing, but I wish Clark Gregg and Paul Bettany had had something, because they've been in the MCU for a long time.
They definitely deserved it, you know? Like, and I get that the Coulson MCU is still huge. In the MCU. Yeah, well, he died, so. I mean, the MCU is huge. It would have been really hard to fit, like, every single person. But at the same time, they kind of had every single person in the movie already. Yeah. So they could have just added in those few extra people who weren't there, but, like, still had a presence within the MCU. And that does go toward, you know, Clark Gregg and Paul Bettany. And I don't even know who else we would list there. Lupita
Nyong'o wasn't in there.
Oh, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, people who weren't in the movie weren't there, so.
I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know if I would be like, yeah, let's put Lupita in that.
She's in the MCU.
No, she is in the MCU, but, like, it wasn't. And I'm not saying that she doesn't have a lasting presence in the MCU, but she wasn't there from, like, the ground floor up.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Like, that's kind of what I mean in that sense, why, like, those two kind of deserve to be. Not that she doesn't deserve to be there. I'm not saying that Lupita doesn't deserve to be there. I do love her, and I love her character, but, like.
That makes sense. It was just one of those things of when I saw Natalie Portman, I was like, oh, they're just doing this for everybody. And then there were very obvious skips, and I was like, okay, now I'm lost.
I mean,
and
I can't think of anyone else. Who did they skip?
So those three, I can't remember who else wasn't in Endgame.
I mean,
those were the only three that I noticed.
I was about to be like, Tilda Swinton was, and I was like, wait, she was there.
She was.
Wong Anyways. Was there. I don't know. But that's not what we're talking about anyway. Yeah, I wish there was more connections. And I think there are so many opportunities for more connections. And, like, I liked the way the Defenders went about it to be like, hey, we're our own thing. But I think the next thing where I was like, hey, you couldn't have made a mention of the Defenders during this part when Tony went to go get Spider-Man in Civil War.
Yeah, I do think. It also depends on where the timeline was. Were the Defenders, was that all happening around Civil War?
I mean,
like, regardless, it started with Matt, of course. So was
regardless,
Matt
he's aware. Active? Yeah,
Daredevil was active during probably. The Civil War time.
I mean, like, regardless of it, Tony is aware that there's a man out there with seemingly superhuman abilities to, like, beat up everyone in sight, you know?
I don't know. And Tony's probably seen enough stuff that he's just, like, he's really good at fighting. Those probably aren't superpowers.
Maybe, but maybe not. Like, he probably has been able to, like, go in on the mask and be like, where are his eyes, you know?
I don't know. We're also assuming Tony cares a lot.
I mean, I think he cares. Like, I think he cares enough to be, he cares enough to actually be aware of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he care enough to be aware of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage? I mean, at that point, I don't think Iron Fist was in the picture, but, like, the three of them were, definitely.
Luke was in prison.
At that time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, God, none of this timeline makes sense. I'm pretty sure Luke was in prison. Matt was probably the only active one, and Jessica was laying low. I don't think anyone knew she had super strength.
Jessica Jones absolutely came out, the first season came out before Civil War.
In timeline two?
Yes.
Because then that would also be the whole thing of, like, Tony is completely ignoring Kilgrave.
I mean, if we do remember correctly, is that, like, when we, when we're talking about Jessica Jones season one, no one was taking Kilgrave seriously.
Mm.
Like, even in
Which
the,
is part
like,
of his powers.
Yeah. Well, in the papers, it was literally like, you know, like, no one.
What?
Like, no one was reporting on him. Like, no one, he was a very low villain, like, laying low, like, no one knew who he was villain.
Yeah.
And by the time he probably would have, like, garnered Tony's attention, he was dead. And then that's when everyone knows, like, oh, there's this superpowered girl, her name's Jessica Jones, you know, like.
Yeah.
So that's where my issue lies, is, like, so Tony's, like, and that's where I can kind of understand why people are like, hey, like, why did he get this, like, kid when there are three supers in Manhattan?
Like, okay, Luke and Jessica would not have, I think, I don't know, maybe this would have been its own throwaway line of, I don't think either any of them would have gone with him. Only Danny would have gone with him, and he wasn't introduced at that point, you know?
No.
Like, that would have been its own throwaway line of just, like, where'd the kid come from? And it'd be like, well, the others didn't want to come. He was the only one interested. Yeah.
And it could, like, it literally would have been a line that only people in the know would have known. It's like, well, there were these three other people, and they didn't want to come, so I got the kid. You know? Like, something like that, where, like, there were opportunities. And it's
to
like...
To acknowledge, yeah.
They make... stupid references. They're not stupid references, but they make stupid fucking references to little teeny tiny freaking details that don't fucking matter from the comic books that no one, that they have no intention on following up on, and yet they make zero reference to the stuff that they are currently working on.
Just the divide between the movies and the TV shows, which if we just all acknowledged and we all knew that it wasn't, you know, that they weren't even going to make an attempt, fine. Like, we all, at least we would all know. But yeah, there were certain setups when they're like, no, it's one universe, this is all tied together. And I was like, then tie it together.
Yeah, then make the effort, tie it together. There's got to be someone out there who's, like, pulling it all together and saying, like, okay, so this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here, this is what's happening here. Like, they all have to make that effort to acknowledge the things that have been happening in each of the universes in each of the timelines, you know?
I feel like you really do have to watch them independently. Because the movies, and maybe this is the screenwriters, because they had, like, the same screenwriting directing team for a lot of, like, the big milestone movies. So this might be on them of just completely ignoring the TV shows, but you really do have to watch them separately. Because the movies are tied together really well.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, so I guess before going into this, how would you like to see Agents and Defenders tied together? Ignoring the movies.
Ignoring the movies, how would I like those shows get tied together?
Yeah, like, the same thing of just, like, Coulson... If anything, I believe, like, because the agents are more on the ground, I could see the agents being like, y'all see what's going down in New York?
Okay, so I think the main thing I would want is just, like, pictures of them. You know, like, I don't need them to be crossing over into each other's shows, you know? But, like... maybe they are going through the, like, Inhumans list, and they're like, what about these three? And they're like, oh, no, like, those three in New York, they're just, like, human experiments or something, you know? Like, like, oh, they're not Inhuman, they are just accidents or, like,
something
some
like
sort
that,
of throwaway line where you can see their faces, and it's like, maybe it's just, like, Daredevil or a scene from Daredevil, and it's like, shouldn't we, like, do something about this guy? And someone is like, why? He's, like, on our side, basically, you know? Like, it's not necessary to see an in-depth crossover, but I wouldn't mind something.
An acknowledgement.
An acknowledgement of, like, hey, this is happening in New York right now. Like, should we go over there? And, like, whoever's in charge is like, nah, they have it handled. Like, no, that's like two small potatoes for us. Just even like the barest minimum.
Yeah, because it's not, again, it's not like I want the Defenders to join Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that, but just acknowledge that this, all three are somewhat tied together would make sense.
I feel like outside of what happened in the Defenders, but even so, within what was happening in the Defenders, everything was kind of small potatoes compared to what the Avengers take on. Like, Kingpin was literally just trying to take control over Hell's Kitchen. Like, that's...
yeah.
Like, he wasn't really trying to take over the world. He was just trying to, like, be
corrupt
a crime boss.
The city, yeah.
In Hell's Kitchen. Jessica Jones and Kilgrave. Kilgrave is just, you know... he can... you can really just kind of call him a serial killer. Yeah. Slash rapist.
He's an enhanced serial criminal.
Yeah. So, I mean, while he was a very serious threat, I don't see why, like, any of the Avengers would see Kilgrave and think of him as, like, their threat.
Yeah, because also at that time, both Jessica and Kilgrave were operating so on the down low, no one realized just, like, the mass effect that Kilgrave could have.
Yeah. Then if we look at season two of Jessica Jones, that's all her mom. And again, it looks like a serial killer, just like a
Regular.
Yeah. And if we look at Luke Cage, it's the same thing there.
It's a crime boss.
Yeah, it's not like these huge megalomaniacs. It's very small, very specific to the area that they're living in.
Yeah, so the only time when it kind of got a little bigger and or mystical is when they introduced Iron Fist and then the actual show Defenders itself. Yeah. That's the only time when, like...
I don't know. It's just, like... Like, I agree that is when it kind of got, like, a little bit bigger. It, like, was getting a little bit bigger.
It got unbelievable.
But the Hand was still a very down-low kind of company. Like...
Yeah. Well, then maybe they could have even tried a tiny, tiny throwaway line of, like, at one point the Hand and Hydra, this old cult, acknowledged each other and then went on their separate ways.
Yeah, maybe that actually would have been a cool... little thing where, like, what was her name? I remember her name, but Sigourney Weaver. Weaver. Sigourney Weaver is one of the largest movie stars in the world, and she played a main villain in a TV show. I get that it's Netflix, but still. And it would have been so easy to make some sort of reference to, like, Alexander Pierce or... Right. Any other of the Hydra members.
Like, I can also see the Hand laughing at Hydra and be like, remember that Pierce man? Oh, so stupid. So short-sighted. Yeah. And then just moving on and be like, oh.
Or listing like all the people they had to get in bed with and being like, we've worked with men, mm-hmm. you know, like, and we've worked with Hydra, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there were small opportunities.
There were so many, and I feel like fans of the MCU, like, inherently don't, like, we love the big crossover stuff. That's why Avengers mm-hmm. is still, like, one of the best freaking movies ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm pretty sure that was in my top five, the Avengers movie, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
Because that was the first time you got to see this huge crossover of movies, like, come together. We love that shit.
That's what made the MCU also work.
But we also love the little shit, too. We loved how in The Winter Soldier, the what's-his-face guy was talking about how the algorithm was going to take out people like Tony Stark, Stephen Strange, Banner, like, you know? And, mm-hmm, like, listing mm-hmm. people that we knew or tangentially knew or were going to come in soon. Like,
mm-hmm.
maybe those of us who weren't in the know didn't know about Stephen Strange at the time, but then it's like, but the people who were in the know were like, wait, hold on, that's like a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a thing. Like, we love that shit.
Definitely. And it really would just tie in the a massive amounts of, like, the project that they set out to do.
I get that there is a certain amount of retconning that will happen.
Mm.
Like, I'm understanding of the retconning because I'm aware that, you know, what they set out to do at first is not at all what is happening right now, you know?
Mm-hmm,
I get it. So I understand why, like, you know, they had to retcon something here and there and there and there. But at the same time, like, TV is kind of TV and movies are kind of different from, like, comics. It's harder to retcon. Mm-hmm. Certain things are very easy to retcon, like little throwaway lines where it's like, oh, wait, who cares about that? You know, like,
right.
Whatever. Like, J.K. Rowling retcons her own freaking series every day, so...
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Just watch Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them and understand that that whole entire thing is a retcon. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyways.
I know, that's an episode for another day. But, like... I'm understanding of retcons. I'm not mad that they exist because, like, I get it. I really do. My problem is, like, it's not retcons. It's just complete ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just ignoring what's happening there.
For sure.
And that's where I get annoyed.
Yeah. And it's for me, what I got annoyed about is, like, if you say you're going to do this, if you're going to say and set this up, and you're not even going to try, and it gets to the point where certain things are just unbelievable, that's when I'm like, okay, then why'd you say that? Why'd
I know.
You say it to begin with?
Just commit. Just commit to it.
Mm-hmm. Or acknowledge that it's not even... Just acknowledge. Just blow it off.
I know.
Agents would be better without the MCU.
Yeah. It's a good show on its own when it's not dealing with all that extra stuff. And I think if they stayed relatively not, you know, they're a super spy organization. They were never going to stay like totally small potatoes, but if they were able to stay on a more manageable level, then it would have been able, we would have been able to believe that it's the same universe and like that Tony and Cap and all of them are.
That was the idea of Agents, is they would clean up the messes that were too small for the Avengers but too big for humanity.
I think like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had this great opportunity of showing what it was like day to day in a world where the Avengers exist. And they didn't follow through. Did you ever watch that Vanessa Hudgens show where it was like they worked?
I watched one episode and it was, but I never went back to it, and then it got canceled.
It was honestly such a fun show. I cannot remember what it was called. I really, really cannot. But it was basically, it was set in the DC universe. They worked at some branch of Wayne Enterprises. They always made tongue-in-cheek jokes about like Bruce Wayne and Batman and like. Their opening credit scenes was so cool because it would be like foreground, like superheroes fighting, and then it would zoom in on the background to the main character or like one of the main characters of like them like cowering behind like a trash can or something. And it was all like styled as if it were a comic book, you know? And that was like really cool to me. And like, I liked seeing them kind of function in their day to day and how a lot of the characters in the show were like, we love superheroes, we just hate them as well because they ruin my, like, they ruin my commute. It's hard to get to work. I can't function throughout my day. I don't know if I should go to the grocery store because I don't know who's fighting who right now, you know? And I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had this great opportunity to do something like that, and then they didn't. And that's where I get annoyed as well, too. It's like, they had so many cool opportunities to, like, be, I don't know, go to New York and deal with the cleanup and see people function, and they're like, ah, fucking like the Avengers, like I hate this shit, you know, like they had the opportunity to do stuff like that and they just didn't.
Like individually, all three pieces, and like technically four because Peggy, like all these pieces are really good, amazing content on their own, and it's just
they
like,
just don't fit in the puzzle.
Thinnest thread that's trying to tie them all together, and it's not working. It's barely working.
Yeah, they're supposed to be puzzle pieces, but they're not. Like they don't fit. Yeah. And that's that. Yeah, that's the frustrating part. So here we are with a bunch of aspects of the MCU that we love on their own, but they just don't really function together anymore.
So I guess that kind of gets into like I hope the Disney's the streaming shows will be able to, maybe because they're all under, ABC is technically under Disney as well, but maybe when they're under
ABC one is under Disney. More,
yeah, maybe when they're under one more clear umbrella of the Disney streaming services, the upcoming Disney shows will be, like, solidly understood where they fit the plot.
Well, the thing
or
is,
they will just, like, say from the get-go, like, this doesn't, this what you're about to see doesn't make sense. Like, we're going to retcon stuff.
What I would say about that is that, the MCU would never do Sam Wilson or Bucky Barnes dirty the way they did Clark Gregg dirty, so... Yeah. They were like, eh, we don't care about that Cable show. Meh. And they were like, oh, we care a little bit more about the Netflix one, but it's a little meh.
So... They really just don't care about the TV shows, so that's why the Disney shows will be interesting to see.
Yeah, they are. Disney Plus is technically available now, but I do not want to pay for it. I think that's pretty much it on our rant for today. I don't know how ranty that got. I feel like our rants have gotten worse.
It was very rant tangent.
Yeah. Like, this is one of our more mild rants.
Yeah, it's also somewhat repetitive.
It is because we have talked about it a lot in within the episodes of these things that we're talking about, but I also felt, well, I mean, we both felt this like kind of does deserve its own episode because it is frustrating.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, like, to watch.
Super frustrating. So with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. You can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. And you can shoot us an email telling us about this episode. If you think it's frustrating that the whole universes don't connect. Or you can just tell us about why you love the MCU. Or tell us about your rankings. Anything. Just comment. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you want us mm-hmm. to talk about. You can send those emails at emfangirls@gmail.com. And you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, like our website, probably other places too. I don't know. Just Google us. I mean, you're listening to us somewhere right now, right? And do all the good things, the commenting and the rating and the reviewing and all of that.
Yes, thank you. Shout out to the 10 people who have given us 5-star ratings. We appreciate that on the Apple Store.
And 6 of them are me.
Yeah, it also, feedback helps us know like what works and what doesn't. We're really just kind of rambling. And we will continue rambling until someone tells us what you want.
Yeah.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use the song Wonderland. And thanks to us for editing and producing internationally.